to live for us, to give us life, and to give us victory one day. We're so glad you're here today. If you're a guest, we're glad you're here, and we hope that our time together is going to be something that is encouraging, edifying, something helpful to you, something to give you, something to think about, and we, of course, want you back as anytime you can come back and be with us. I think Selma was on Facebook a few days ago in Groundhog Day and heard a funny line come up from some folks we know in Key West. They said the palm tree saw its own shadow and therefore they have to extend their vacation by 6 weeks. So I thought that was funny. We're thankful for the bulletin that gets printed every week, and especially the colors. I like the different colors in that bulletin, don't you? Kind of livens it up, brings it to life. This morning, we're going to talk about good deeds, doing good, being ready to do what is good. And I'd like for us to open our Bibles to the book of Titus. To the book of Titus. The Apostle Paul speaks frequently of the importance of good works, of doing good works, good deeds. And he does that as he writes to Timothy and Titus, two preachers, two evangelists that he mentored in a number of ways. Paul is always interested in encouraging the brethren to do good works, to do good deeds, something very important for the church to do. Titus mentions good works in four places in Paul's letter to Titus. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then chapter 3, verse 1, which is our text in our title today. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 14. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then come down to verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Notice, isn't that interesting? Four times Paul writes to Timothy, the younger preacher. Paul was a preacher. He's writing to a younger preacher named Titus. And four times he tells him to tell them to maintain good works. So Paul tells Titus to tell the brethren, to tell the Christians, to tell the church to do good works. Four times he does it. So I get the impression it's kind of important, is it not? Something that he wants them to be mindful of. He says that it's very important to do so. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, about being ready for every good work. The setting of chapter 3, verse 1, which is our key text this morning, the setting is found in the context of chapter 2, verse 11 and following. So I'm going to read those verses so that we kind of set things up for our study. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 3, verse 7. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The introduction here of this idea of good works is something that is really on Paul's mind. He says it's very important. It's going to be an evidence of our Christian life, that we, because we're Christians, because we are followers of Christ, because we're members of his church, that good works should be flowing out from us all the time, and we should be ready every time an opportunity presents itself. In fact, one of the ideas here is we should be boiling over, zealous of good works. That is, think of a pot on a stove boiling with water. That's the illustration that we're to use. The idea that our good works should be boiling over, zealous as we live our Christian lives. So I want to mention three ideas here. The reason for the good works, the method of preparing for the good works, and then the doing of the good works. Why do these good works? Verses 1, 2, and 3. Because God has been good to us. God has been good to us. Therefore, it follows naturally, it follows logically, that we do good works for others. Isn't that so? Doesn't that make sense? If God has been good to me, then I should be good to others because of what he has done for me. And that's one of the lessons that Paul gives. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves, listen closely, verse 3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. This is a description of me and all of us. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And this is a description of our lives before Christ. But because God has been merciful to us and he's been good to us, he wants us to learn to do good to others. So this the good that they are to do owes its existence to the good God had done for us. You know, we have a saying out of Three Chop. Someone says, God is good, and you know what the audience says? All the time. So I'll say that. God is good all the time. There you go. And he is. God is good all the time. He's never, ever, under any circumstances, less than good. And so, because he is good to us, we learn to do good for others. To receive and to receive and to receive, but to never give, is a sign of selfishness. And that's something that we don't want to have in our lives. You know, there's a great lesson even in the Bible lands. There's, if you look on the map, you see the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee is alive with fish and life, and it has a river flowing out of it called the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows downward, southward, to the Dead Sea. The water from the Jordan, ultimately from the Galilean Sea, but the water from the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea has no outlet. The water goes nowhere. So you know what happens to the water? It dies. It just becomes the salt sea. So it's always taking in fresh water, but the water comes into the Dead Sea and it goes nowhere. Therefore, it dies. And that's kind of a symbolic idea of what happens to the life of a person who is constantly receiving but never giving out. They die inside. We receive blessings in order to give forth life. The Galilean Sea is filled with life, and it has a flow of a Jordan River coming out of it, flowing south. So there's a beautiful little lesson, even in the geography of the five Bible lands. The reason for doing good works is because there is so much good that needs to be done and that can be done. We should be doing good for one another, but we should also be doing good as much as we are able for those outside the body of Christ, because it leaves a lasting impression upon people. When God's people do good works for those who are outside the body, those people remember, and they think about what kind of people God's people are. They do good works, and then they're more open to open their heart to listen to the Word of God and the gospel. We want to serve. We want to do good for the weak, the strong, the young or the old, the rich or the poor, the black or the white, or any skin color. Whether they are friendly or hostile to us, we want to do good to others. And it's important. We don't live in a monastery. We are in a world where we are in contact with people all the time. Every day we come in contact with people. And we have opportunities to do good. And when we have those opportunities, if we're able to do that, we should try our best to fulfill those. Another reason for doing good, being ready for every good deed, is because it reflects well upon God, and He won't forget. This is what Jesus said: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God wants the good works to be seen so that He's glorified. As Christians do good deeds, do good works, as they are ready to do good, God gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the credit, you can say. Because people say, these people are working for God. They are doing good because of what God has taught them. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And if you look on the board next to me, I've listed this verse as something you might want to write down and carry with you. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. "For God," now listen closely, "God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." It would be unjust for God to forget the good works that you do. That's a pretty strong statement. But the writer of Hebrews is telling us God is not unjust because He does not forget the good that you do. Whatever good that might be, however small it might seem, however insignificant it might be, God notices, He sees, He's pleased, and He remembers these things. Good works are intended to be seen, but we don't go out trying to be seen. In other words, when we do good works, we don't go out with the intent of saying, "Look at me. Look at me and all the good I'm doing." They're going to be seen, but that's not the purpose. The purpose of doing the good works is that others will see the good works and glorify God as a result. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Good works have a way of canceling out evil things being done against you. When you do good, people notice and they see the kind of life that you are living. Matthew 23 and verse 5. I want to read Matthew 23 and verse 5, which is also on the board next to me. He says, "But they do all their deeds." This is speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, "They do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments." So Jesus does not want you to stop doing good works. He just doesn't want you to have the wrong motives for doing the good works. He wants you to have good, pure, godly, noble motives for doing what is good. Second point, the method. If you look on your bulletin, you'll see that I have the one, two, and three points there. The method of preparing. How do we prepare to be doing good works? Is there preparation needed? Well, I think that there is. There is the Word of God. It fits us out. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, so the Word of God is essential to this. The more we study the Word of God, the more we begin to learn the kinds of good works that we can do. Because by learning from this, we are learning what God regards as good works and what we can do. The church has an advantage over the world. We know what good is. Have you ever thought about that? God's people know what good is in a way that the world does not always know what good is. Because we spend our time being instructed from His Word, and it teaches us what good is and what is not good. And therefore, by knowing what is good, we learn how to do good works from these things. Secondly, under the second point, we should sanctify ourselves. That is, set ourselves apart. We should consciously, in our minds, decide that we are a child of God and we will live differently. We will live in a way different from the world. And I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And you'll notice that that is on the board there also. 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 and following. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, there's that word, sanctified or set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Notice what he says. The child of God should view himself or herself differently. I belong to the Lord. The idea is I belong to the Lord, therefore I am the Lord's servant. I am in His hands. I am here to do what He wants to be done. And however God wants to use us, that's His choice. So he says in verse 21, let me read it again. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So set yourself apart. Set yourself apart consciously. Get the tools ready. God will find the job. That's what, you know, that's a great old saying. Get the tools ready, sharpen the axe, and God will find the work for you. Just prepare, be ready for every good work. We should also be preparing for this by our example. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Look back in Titus with me, which we're spending our time in. In verse 7, he says to Titus, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works. So Paul the preacher tells Titus the preacher to live a life of good works to set an example for the church at Crete. That's where Titus is. If you look in the first chapter of Titus, you will see that Paul left Titus at Crete, an island, so that he could then preach the gospel. And he tells Titus, I want you to show an example of good works to them. It's interesting because these folks who lived on Crete may not have known what good was. And so Titus was here living a life and preaching a message which would teach them things that they would not have known. And then another way we prepare is by learning from the brethren. One of the reasons we come together as a church every Sunday and also Wednesdays, one of the reasons we come together is because we learn from each other. We learn ways to do good. Have you ever noticed that if the church was just a bunch of drive-ins, where everybody sat separate from each other in their car and listened to a sermon then drove away, how much you would lose in that service? And you can't do it sitting at home in front of a TV. You've got to come together and spend time physically with each other to learn about good works that have to be done, needs that are there. This church does good works, but we also want to grow in our good works. One of the reasons for the business meetings once a month is to talk about things that this church can do, but certainly it's not limited to that. There are folks that can start doing good works even when the rest of the church may not know about it. It'll become public eventually, but do good works, do good deeds. What we want to do is to encourage each other to love and good works. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And the idea is poke each other to love and good works. Stimulate or provoke one another. In other words, we tell each other, hey, this needs to be done. Let's do this. We provoke each other. We stimulate each other. We encourage each other to do good works. And finally, number three on our little outline, there's the doing of the good works, the doing. We know that Abraham and Lot were sitting there and angels appeared and they showed hospitality to these angels. Show hospitality when you have opportunities. Doing good comes in events and times and opportunities. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially them that are of the household of faith." And then Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28, which I have up there on the board as well. Proverbs 3:28. "Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you." See, if you have the opportunity now, do good now. And don't put it off. Today may be our last day to do anything. To everything there is a season. Ecclesiastes, that's what it says. There is a season to do this or to do that. And take advantage of each opportunity each day. Reputations are being made. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." This woman named Tabitha, also known Dorcas, her reputation was to do good works. You know, if someone was in another city and they said, "Have you heard of this woman named Dorcas?" "Oh yeah, I've heard of her. She does good works all the time. She was full of good works." How would you like to have that reputation? To have good works attached to your name. So, be ready. It is what we are made for. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." The reason God has created us in Christ is for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Acts of mercy, acts of goodness, are just something that we want to do. I knew a fellow many years ago who used to say that first thing he would do before studying the Bible with someone, he would sit over a table with them and fix a sandwich for them. He said he'd like to share a ham sandwich with them, sit down and eat, and then they would start to talk about the Bible. We should do so in a cheerful spirit. We should do good works in a cheerful spirit. So let me close with these thoughts. Christianity is good news and good works, not malignant words or malevolent answers. We are filled with good news, and we want to extend ourselves for good works. Be ready for every good deed. Let me read finally from Revelation chapter 19, 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So, be ready for every good deed, every good work. Be on the lookout for it. Ask for God's help to spot them when they come your way. And you will be amazed at the effect it will have upon the growth of the church. Let me say these final words from from Titus, the book we're in. Titus chapter 3, 4 and following. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Paul talks about to Titus the fact of there was that starting point of their lives when they were baptized in water, regenerated, forgiven of sins, washed of sins, and they were given the Holy Spirit to live within them. And the opportunity has been presented to countless peoples for the last 2,000 years. If you want to believe in Jesus, if you do believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you'll turn from your sins, repent, if you'll be baptized in water for the remission of sins, God will then give you the Holy Spirit to live within. And you can start a life where you can begin to be on the lookout for doing good. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, come now while we stand and sing.
912. Days are filled with sorrow.